Okay, oschas on page hai. Kamosha derech, mishen nitzrach li Yeshua no sein tzedakah. Just like the derech of a person is, that if he needs a Yeshua, he gives tzedakah. Gemara even talks about such an idea, that a person gives tzedakah with the hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do something for him. So the same way that if a person needs a salvation, one of the ways we try to awaken that salvation is by giving tzedakah. Kein Hashem Yisparach, asher ikar Yeshuaso kiviyachol, hu kisha'adam misorer me'atzmo v'la'avodas Hashem Yisparach. Dot, 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 dot. Just like, let me tell you the Tamtzis Hadavar. Just like a person, when he wants to experience salvation, gives tzedakah. So he's about to say, so too, when Hashem needs a Yeshua, Hashem also gives tzedakah. What does that mean? So just like it's the derech of a person, when he needs a Yeshua, he gives tzedakah. So too Hashem, asher ikir Yeshuaso kiviyachol hu. What is the primary salvation of Hashem? What does salvation mean? What does Yeshua mean? Yeshua means that my situation is currently not the way that I want it to be, and I need it to change. I want it to go back to the way that I want it to be. Not necessarily even for something great, I just want normal. A person's sick, I want to be regular healthy. I don't need to be super healthy. I don't need to be the healthiest man in the world. I want to get away from my illness and get back to a place of normal. If a person is struggling financially, I don't need to be a big gvir in town. I don't want to have to struggle to pay my bills. So Yeshua usually means getting out of a situation that's difficult and getting back to a place where it's the way that I want it to be. So how does Hashem want it to be? First, you have to know how, right? What the Yeshua of Hashem is. How does Hashem want it to be? So he tells us again, Iker Yeshuaso of Hashem kiviyachol. Hashem wants it to be that we are self-motivated. It's really sad that Hashem gave us the most awesome gift in the world, Torah and mitzvos, and then he has to also beg us to do it. That's a little off. The way it's supposed to be is that we should want to do it. And Hashem wants us to appreciate his Torah and mitzvos. That's how Hashem wants it to be. That is the Yeshua Hashem. That's how Hashem wants it to be. That a Adam should be misover me'atzmo liavodas Hashem Yisbarach bechinas isarusa dilatata. What's referred to in the Svarim as an arousal or an awakening of latata from below. Hashem shouldn't have to poke us from on high to get us going in the morning. We should want to do it because we're excited about the gift of Torah mitzvos. Because if you can be self-motivated, then Hashem can give you greater reward. And what is Hashem's desire? To give you great reward. Hashem wants to be able to give you a lot of shefa, a lot of goodness, a lot of blessing. That's Hashem's greatest desire, that Hashem is rotza lehitiv. Hashem wants to do good for you. So the best way for Hashem to be able to do good for you is if what? Is if you're self-motivated. And Hashem's greatest desire is to be able to do good for you. So that's the way Hashem wants it to be. What happens if Hashem says, I'm in trouble? What is it? Again, you have to follow it's very circular. What happens if Hashem's in trouble? What does it mean Hashem's in trouble? That means you're not self-motivated. And because you're not self-motivated, God cannot give you the goodness that He wants to bestow upon you. And because Hashem can't give you that goodness, Hashem is upset because all He wants to do is perform good for you. So how do you get out of this bad situation? How do you get a Yeshua when you're in trouble? So what do? When we're in trouble, we do what? We give tzedakah. So Hashem brings about a salvation of Hashem by giving tzedakah. What does that mean? So he explains. V'im ein ha'adam misorer me'atzmo. If a person is not self-motivated, az nosein Hashem yisbarach tzedakah. Hashem gives tzedakah. The truth is, it's not that far-fetched. Next week's parsha, Avram Avinu, believes in Hashem, v'yachshaveh alo tzedakah, and it's considered tzedakah. So some mafarshim learn that the tzedakah is, Avram is doing tzedakah for God by believing in him. And others say, no, Hashem is giving tzedakah to Avraham by giving Avraham the ability to believe in him. Hashem gives tzedakah. Hashem practices all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Anything Hashem commands us to do, he's also prepared to do. So if a person is not self-motivated, Hashem gives tzedakah. What is the tzedakah that Hashem gives? What is the tzedakah that Hashem gives? Again, think about it. It's such a deep idea. When you give tzedakah, when you give someone tzedakah, right? Who's being saved? Both people, right? Meaning the poor guy says, I need money. And you say, I need to get my health back. Right? I'm davening to Hashem, I need a Yeshua. I need to have my health restored. My doctor's telling me scary things. So when I give tzedakah, I'm helping the poor guy to have his needs met. But in reality, I'm bringing about a salvation for myself. So Hashem does the same thing also. When we're not self-motivated, when we're the poor person in the mashal, Hashem gives us tzedakah as a way of saving himself. What is the tzedakah that Hashem gives? Hashem is no saint tzedakah. Umeyir laha adam bisarusa de la'ila. Hashem awakens you from above. Hashem inspires you from above. Hashem gets you going. Afshalo magiyalo, even though you don't deserve it. Right? Even though a person doesn't really deserve it, Hashem gives to you. He helps you out, gives you a free gift. V'zo tzedakah me Hashem yisbarach, and this tzedakah from God is kedei sheyutzmach mizeh Yeshua lo yisbarach shemo. Is a way of Hashem saving himself. How so? Because what happens once Hashem gets you motivated? Then what happens? Then hopefully what? You become self-motivated. And when you become self-motivated, then what? Then you're learning and doing mitzvahs. And then Hashem can do what? Hashem can give you shefa. And that's his greatest desire. All right? It's hard. It's a hard piece. Such a deep idea. So when Hashem is ma'orer you, Hashem is really giving tzedakah to himself. Again, v'zo tzedakah me Hashem yisbarach, this tzedakah of Hashem is kedei sheyutzmach v'zei Yeshua lo yisbarach shmo, is a way of Hashem bringing salvation kiviyachol to himself. Ki acharei she'tam ha'adam noam avodas Hashem, because after you get a taste of the service of Hashem, then afterwards, rotze kvar achar kach la'avod me'atzmo. Then I become self-motivated, and I'm able to serve on my own. And when I serve on my own, Hashem is able to now give me great reward. And that's the very reason that Hashem, if you could say a reason, but for those Svarim that do say a reason, that's one of the reasons Hashem created the world, that it's the nature of one who is good to bestow his goodness upon others. And the more self-motivated you are, the more reward God can give you. V'zehu yeshuaso yizbarach shemo, and this is the saving of Hashem, that Hashem can now reward you. So Hashem gives tzedakah to you to quote-unquote save himself. And saving himself means getting you self-motivated so that he can give you a greater reward. What an amazing idea. Amazing to think of this concept of Hashem giving tzedakah. Right? Amazing that Hashem's desire that you should have goodness is a tzara for him, that you being not self-motivated pains Hashem. Why does it pain him? See, a simpleton would say it pains God because you're not following his laws. You're rejecting his malchus. You're denying him the honor that he deserves. No, the deeper pshat is, it pains Hashem when you're not a good Jew, because if you're not a good Jew, Hashem can't give you the good things that he wants to give you. And that pains HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem gives you a little, it's a rusa de la'ila, a little tzedakah. That gets you inspired. You become self-motivated. And Hashem, through giving that tzedakah, so to speak, saves himself. Now that you're self-motivated, he can give you even greater reward. And that's his greatest desire. Nu, mikam chiyasol. We're very lucky to have a God who cares about us in such a way. Okay? All right. Let's try the next piece. Inyan ahava mevi lira. Inyan ava mevi lira. K'maymer hamagin mi mezrich. As the Maggid of Mezrich explained, Malaha Aretz Kinyanecha. David HaMelech says, the world is filled with your creations, Kinyanecha. Right? When we say in Shemona Esrei, Hashem is Kone HaKol, that means Hashem is responsible for, Hashem owns everything because Hashem created everything. But Malaha Aretz Kinyanecha Al Pi Pnimius, Al Pi Chasidus, says the Maggid, means Malaha Aretz Kinyanecha. The world is filled with ways to acquire you. Kinyanecha. Everything we experience in life is another way to what? To be Kona Hashem. To understand the new aspect of godliness. Malaha Aretz, the world is filled with Kinyanecha. Ki b'chol davar ve'inyan asher ba'olam, yecholim liknos oso yizbarach. That everything in this world is an opportunity to acquire another you know, little bit of elokos, another bit of godliness. Everything we see, everything we hear, like the Baal Shem Tov said, is another message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, another way to acquire a new understanding of how Hashem runs His world. U'kishezoche ha'adam lahasig ha'elokos b'libo. So what happens when I have a regular experience in life and I recognize that there's a divine spark within it and I acquire it, I take it, I make the kinyan? Well, whenever you make a kinyan, when you own something, you want to make sure you don't lose it. So he writes here that when a person is zocha to lahasig, to grasp, to understand, another nekuda of elokus, belibo, in his heart, tzarech li yishamer ma'od, he needs to make sure that what? That he's able to hold on to it. Ki b'chol davar yuchal lios grama b'nezikin, sheyavar al yedezeh ma'sheheisig v'kana belibo. Because everything that one experiences could push out, you know, the previous point of connection. I mean, the goal is to be able to acquire Hashem and to continue to build upon that and to make sure that my next experience is not going to cause me to lose my previous experience. Kamaimer HaKasav, like the Pasuk says, Mala Ha'aretz Chamas. On the one hand, Mala Ha'aretz Kinyanecha, the world is filled with possibility of acquiring you, getting to know Hashem, but also Mala Ha'aretz Chamas, like it says in this week's Parsha, right, that the world could also be filled with all sorts of other things. So you have to be careful what you acquire, meaning your heart is only able to be so big, so to speak. Right? If you fill your heart with nonsense, it's going to push out the holy things. If you fill your heart with holy things, it'll push out the nonsense. That was the Rambam that we looked at this morning. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia that says that only a lave that's panoi min hachachma is going to be overcome with feelings of arayos. If I fill my heart with divine wisdom, so then it becomes much easier to not have any space in my heart and in my mind for taiva. It's like they say, I think the Kotzker said, maybe the Avinezer said, Avinezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzker. Avinezer was the father of the Shem Yishmuel, the first, Avinezer was the first Rebbe of Sakachov. So I don't remember if it was that, maybe, I think it was the Avinezer they quoted. But he said, I don't want to have Hasidim who are able to conquer the Yetzer Hara, but I want to have Hasidim who are so busy with good things, they just don't have time for the Yetzer Hara. That's Mala Aretz Kinyanecha. I'm so filled up with Kinyanei Hashem, I'm so busy with acquiring Hashem, that there's just no space for other things. I don't have to even fight it, I just don't have time for it. Right? And I'm sitting around, I have too much free time. Then the Yetzer Hara comes along and he starts trying to convince me of things. Then I'm grappling with him. The Avinezer, I think, or maybe the Kotzker said, I want to have Chassidim who are just so busy with Avodas Hashem. They just push it, don't have time. No time, Yetzer Hara, oh, you want? I'm too busy now. I can't even hear your offer. I'm just too busy right now. I'm too involved in good things. So a person who's Malah Haaretz Kinyanech is filled with Kinyanei Elokus, is able to overcome the Malah Haaretz Chamas. There's a Chassan Sofer that I like to quote. The Chassan Sofer was the grandson of the Chassam Sofer. So he writes in last week's Parsha in Bereishis, he says, we're told as human beings, Adam is charged, Adam and Chava are charged with the command, Pru Urevu Umil'u Es Haaretz. What does it mean? Be fruitful, multiply, be productive, Umil'u Es Haaretz, and what? And fill the Aretz. In other words, go out to the physical world and fill it up. Right? Fill it up with your hashpah. The reverse of that, he says, tragically, is where? Is at the beginning of Sefer Shemos. What does it say at the beginning of Sefer Shemos? Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. Obviously, the pashut pshat is that the land, right? Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. The land was filled with Jews as the family of Yaakov continued to grow in Mitzrayim. But you hear the difference? Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. That the land filled them. So which is it? Are you peru urvu umilu as ha'aretz v'kivshua? Do you go out and conquer the world? Right? Do you try to fill the world with meaningful content? Or God forbid, you sit back, and what happens? Vatimalei ha'aretz osam, that the land fills you, the earthliness fills you, it overpowers you. So it's a similar idea to what he's writing here. Mala ha'aretz kinyanecha versus mala ha'aretz chamas. Right? Do I see the world as opportunities to what? To acquire another bit of elokus? Or God forbid, do I sit back and lose all those points of connection? By what? By allowing the very violent and destructive world to infiltrate my inner world. Kizelu umaze asalokim, right? Because that's the rule of Koheles in the 7th chapter, that for every positive thing there's a negative thing. So that means just like every single thing that I encounter could be an opportunity to acquire godliness, it also means that every single thing that I encounter could be a step away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we have to be so careful. And then he writes, he concludes the piece, he says, V'zeh yir'aso, and this is the fear of an Eved Hashem, shelo yavod ma shehisig tshukaso la'Hashem yisbach, that he shouldn't lose his longing for Hashem. V'inyan yira mevi la'ava, meaning, what's the idea of ava mevi li'ira? Right? That's how he started the piece. Inyan ahava mevi liyira. How does love lead to fear? So again, I love Hashem so much. I want to experience Hashem in everything that I experience. And my fear that's generated by that is what? Betrayal. I'm trying to gather in so much godliness that I'm scared that what? That I might lose it. I might drop it, right? I'm scared to lose any bit. I'm so interested in every little bit of godliness that I'm scared to lose it. So my love of Hashem, my longing to be close to Hashem, generates a fear that, God forbid, I could lose that desire to be so close to Hashem. Ve'inyan yira mevi la'ava, and how does fear lead to love? Ki kishuhu yare ma'od, because when I'm very afraid, uvechol ze roa sever panim yafos mimelech gadol v'nora ze ma'or ava. When Hashem sees that I'm afraid to lose the relationship, Hashem will smile down upon me, and I realize how much Hashem loves me that much more, and that creates even greater love. It's similar to what we were saying this morning, the idea from Rabbi Nachman, that when you realize that your neshama yaseira is going to leave, right, you fall in love with it that much more. So it's the same idea here. Again, he speaks a lot in these like cyclical ideas. Right? To lose my relationship with him, Hashem says, wow, you must really, Hashem smiles down upon me, and when I see Hashem smiling at me, then I fall in love with Hashem more. And then I fear that much more. Oh my gosh, what if I, God forbid, lose this relationship? But again, just kedai to see this piece, just to hear the Maggid of Mezrich's taich of Mala Haaretz Kinenecha. Mala Haaretz Kinenecha, the world is filled with different ways to be Kona HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, next one, let's try the next one. Yud. V'achayos Ratzo V'shov. In Yechezkel's vision in Perek Aleph, it says the chayos, which are angels, are ratza v'shov. They're running and retreating. Obviously, ratza and shov, moving forward and moving backwards, is part of the normal progression of any Eved Hashem. It's the reason we shuckle and we daven. We draw close, we pull back. We draw close, we pull back. A person has to know how to move forward and how to deal with a step back. So he's going to explain to us how to do that. Ratzo bechinas ava v'ratzon, right? Obviously, running forward, charging forth, is an expression of love and desire. V'shov, and the return, the shuv, right? The retraction is bechinas yira. Ki dveikis tmidi I efshar, v'hu mochach leshov. It's impossible for a person to just go forward, 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 forward. Right? There has to be some forward and back in order to actually have real progress. without being overly graphic, if you think about a husband and wife being intimate with each other, right, there's a back and forth motion of a sexual act which actually allows a person to procreate. So that's also part of the Ratz of Ishov. Enough said. That's part of the Ratz of Ishov, right? There has to be, and that's why we shuckle when we daven. There's even a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov, a very delicate teaching, I probably shouldn't even say it. But in the Kesar Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov has a Torah where he describes the shuckling, the movements of the body, right, during tefillah is almost like an act of intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a pretty intense idea. But that's reality. Dveikus Tmidi, always moving forward in my relationship with Hashem, doesn't make my relationship better. When a couple will start dating, and everything's going great, 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 I say, "Oh, how's it going? Oh, it's been all positive." I said, "Great. Let me know when you have your first fight." Right? Because the quality of the relationship can only be assessed when there's ratz of a shov, when there's forward motion and there's setbacks and overcoming those setbacks. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The tzaddik falls and gets back up, and that's how he becomes a tzaddik. It's through the ups and downs. So therefore, he says here, so ratza is moving forward, the ratza on the ava, the longing, the desire. Shov is the retreat, because a dveikus tmidi, a constant attachment, is not an attachment at all. Right? People who don't know how, people who like, you know, a couple that like don't know how to be apart, don't know how to be together either. Expression of true love is being able to know how to be close and how to have a proper normal amount of distance. But at the beginning of the relationship, when like you just want to spend 24/7 together, that's dimionos. It's not a real thing. A dveikus tmidi, yafshar, there's no such thing. There has to be a retreat. That's a healthy way of growth. But the Ratz of Ishov, the challenge of Ratz of Ishov, is the same way that being close all the time is not real closeness. Well, I have to be careful when I move back, which is necessary, that I don't move back too far. Because there's a fear that if I move back too far, I may not be able to get close again. You realize the challenge, and we say it every time I go to the bathroom, the challenge of a neshama staying in a body. It's such a difficult challenge because the neshama says, I come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to return to my source. The neshama wants to leave the body and go back. So on the one hand, the nishma sa'adim, which is a chelak alokam mimal, is mishtokek, hachelak lashuv l'makoro. That part of us, which is called our neshama, badly wants to just fly up and keep going up. The same way a flame is always going up, 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 and up. Even though a flame is also dancing a little bit, if you look closely, it's moving up and down, really. Right? But the neshama, that chelak alokam mimal, that divine spark from on high, just wants to return to its creator. And it's being forced to stay down in this world. And it's also, again, there's this pull. The neshama is being pulled up. I can't get pulled up too much, otherwise I'll die. But if I keep my neshama too much in my body, then I won't even realize I have a neshama. So there's this struggle, this very delicate balance of ratz of ishov. On the one hand, the chelek alam kal mimal is mishtoke kachelek leshuv lemakoro, turn the page, uvishvil ze mois b'chet. And the reason the neshama is so repulsed by sin, because again, what does every sin do? Every sin is a step back. But the neshama is terrified that what? What happens if you step back too much to the point that you don't know how to step forward again? It's mois b'chet shemisyari shelo yase mechitza beino levein kono shushorash nishmaso. Every avera puts up a wall between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But fear is that what if the wall gets thicker and bigger? It becomes more and more difficult. Then the neshama, God forbid, gets trapped in this world. It doesn't know how to ratza. It doesn't know how to run back to God. So we're always living with this delicate balance of ratza v'shov, of trying to get close to Hashem, recognizing that, yes, part of a healthy, growing relationship requires a little bit of a step back. Sometimes we mess up. But I have to be careful that the mess-ups don't become prolonged. That's really what Hashem said to Cain in this past week's parasha. What happened when Cain's carbon was rejected? Cain's all depressed. What does Hashem say to him?
Why are you depressed?
What is he so depressed about? Right? If you fix your ways, then say, then Hashem says, no problem, I'll forgive you. But if not, if you continue to wallow in your sadness, right? If you let this sin just linger, and you don't try again to draw close, then lepesa chatas rovets, then sin is crouching at your door. Then avera goreres avera. So instead of it just being a step back, or so to speak, you read the litzar chaliyah like a person who bends their knees to jump higher, God forbid there could be this retreat and you don't know how to get back in line. So v'achayos ratzav eshov, the vision of Yechezkel, which is one of the deepest nevuas, right? The deepest visions of all of our prophets, okay, is really the secret of life, to strike that balance between ratzav eshov. A healthy balance of being close and being far, and understanding that sometimes being close, too much closeness is not real closeness. Obviously, moving back too far could be, God forbid, a severing of the relationship. And therefore, all of life is Ratzav Eshov. V'chayas Ratzav Eshov means all of chiyas, all of your existence, is about striking the balance between Ratzav and Eshov. Okay, let's try Yud Beis. We'll skip Yud Aleph, we'll go to Yud Beis. Connects to what we learned this morning. Al tamin ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Let's learn a deep Chassidish Shataych of a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Don't believe in yourself until the day of your death. What's the Pashup Shat? Don't believe in yourself to the day of your death.
Keep on striving.
The Yitzhahara could just derail a person at any point. The Gemara tells the story of someone who was a Kohen Gadol for tens of years and then went off the Derech. So there's no guarantees, right? Don't trust yourself. Don't think that you're safe and that, oh, nothing could get me to abandon my Yiddishkeit. Al tam and ba'atzmacha, don't be overly confident until you're no longer alive in this world. There are many, many impediments. And there are people who mamish lived a life of righteousness, and at the end of their life, something happened, and they threw it all away. Scary thought. But says the Avodas Pnim, you know what it means on a deeper level? Don't trust yourself until the day of death. Beautiful pshat. Perish shelo ya'amin ha'odim ba'atzmo, bishum mida. A person should not trust or believe that he has acquired any mida, lachshov shekvar kana osa, kinyan nafshi. Let's say a person says, I'm working on whatever it is they're working on, whatever midah they're working on. Right? So a person says, I read 35 svarim on this topic. I know everything there is to know about the Torah's, you know, view of happiness. It's a midah. The midah of being sameach b'chalko. So I read 35 books on sameach b'chalko. So says the Avodas Pnim, that's nice. You have a lot of knowledge about Avodas. You have a lot of knowledge about sameach b'chalko. But al tamin ba'atzmacha, don't trust that you've acquired that midah ad yom moscha. Until what? Based on what we learned this morning, until what? Until you kill yourself over it. Until you're moser nefesh for it. Because there's a big difference between knowing what you should do, or what you could do, or what the Torah wants you to do, and actually fighting for it. Again, perish. Shalo yamina adam ba'atzma b'shum midah. Lachshov shekvar kana oso kinyan nafshi. Don't assume that you've acquired any midah, small or big, doesn't matter. Don't be convinced that you've acquired it. Ve'ein otzarech kol kach lishamer mimena. And I don't need to work on myself anymore in this area. I've mastered it. Don't assume that you've acquired it, unless what? Rak im yikne osa b'mesiras nefesh. Until you're prepared to fight for it, until you're prepared to die for it, Avram Avinu goes into a fiery furnace. Avram Avinu cannot say that he had a munah in Hashem until what? Until he was prepared to die for Hashem. Mesiras nefesh mamish. Shesiken eschayev v'lo over al midazu. Until your life is hanging in the balance and you still chose to stick with this midah, until you fought for it, until you're moser nefesh for it, don't assume that you've acquired it. Ki oz yada shekano osa. Once you fought for it, once you were moser nefesh for it, then you can assume that maybe you've acquired it. Kuli hai v'ulai. You know, then like, perhaps it's safe to assume that you've acquired it. Aval ma shekano oda midah tova al yidei hadas. But that which a person says, I've mastered this midah because I've read every article on this topic, that's not mastery of the midah. Shegidol b'dayto lahavinu levar hatov me'ara. Person says, I work through this sugya, I know, I have a perfect clarity in it. So then you say to the person, well, did you ever, you know, were you ever challenged in it? No, I wasn't really challenged so significantly in it. So, nah, so we don't know. Sometimes you hear stories about people in the Holocaust who, you know, like abandoned their Yiddishkeit because of impossibly difficult situations. And if you're a person who reads like a lot of Amunah books, you like sometimes think like, I would have had Amunah. I would have still believed in God, you know, after the Holocaust. Someone lost, you know, a guy survives and lost his wife and 8 kids, you know, and he doesn't believe in God anymore after the Holocaust. And you think like, really? I don't know. I think I would have still believed in Hashem even after going through that tragedy. I mean, I read a lot of Amunah Sfarim, so... Until you're in that situation where mamish, your life is dependent on it, when you've suffered for it and you fought for it, it doesn't matter that you have made a kinyan hadas, that you set out to master the tov mira, to master this idea. Because if it's just an idea in your head, well, everyone gets distracted, so to speak. If the idea only exists in your mind, so that means all it takes is a second of you being detached from it, being distracted from it, and you'll stumble. Al kein kol zman shelo amar ha'adam b'nisoon b'nyanei avodas Hashem yisbarach, that until the person is confronted and passed the test of that particular midah, muchrachu lishmor yishav adas shelo, he needs to guard the idea so carefully in his mind. Because again, the fact that it's in your mind, you can't rest at this point. It's like, I acquired it. You don't know if you've acquired it. You have to be on guard. If you've actually fought for it and passed the test, then you can start to be convinced that maybe you own it. Right? But until a person has what? Until a person has passed that nisayon, and it's only an idea in your mind, you better keep it really strong in your mind. Because the fact that it's in your mind does not mean it's a part of you. Once your body's gone through it, acquired it. Just like us, Shalo, he needs to maintain his mindfulness of that idea. V'lo yuznach afilu rega echad, not to abandon it even for a moment. Rega kamemra, for a second. Ki oz yuchol yishamar milachid b'mesudas hayetzer hasovim mikol tzad. If you can keep your mind on it, then maybe you'll be able to what? To hang on to it when the Yetzirah attacks you. But it's not yours. The fact that you've mentally, you know, come to certain conclusions, that's not it. It's what Rabbi Saul Salanter said. It's easier for a person to learn all of Shas than to acquire one Midah. Right? Learning all of Shas takes a lot of brain power. But that's his point here. If you learn a Midah as much as you want, you have to be mindful of it all the time. You have to keep it on your mind all the time because it's not really yours yet. You haven't proven that it's yours. Once you fight for it, once you're moser nefesh for it, then already you could say it's part of your legacy. And that's what the Sfarim say. Once Avraham Avinu goes into a fiery furnace, we don't have to work so hard as Jews to be prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem. It's what the Kedushas Levi says, it's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says. From the moment that the first Jew was prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem, it became part of our spiritual DNA. And now, it's much easier for us, God forbid, if we were put in the situation, Dial Kiddush Hashem, we'd be prepared to give our lives. And you see that. It answers a question throughout history. Jews were not that religious, but were prepared to die proudly as Jews. Because once Avram fought for it, now it becomes almost like a natural part. Now we've acquired it. It's part of our spiritual inheritance. But up to that point, when it's just an idea, if it's just an idea, then there's no guarantee that it's going to last. If it's just a philosophical idea, it could easily dissipate. B'shas ma'isa. So that's what it means. Al tam and ba'atzmachad yom mosa. Don't believe in yourself. Don't trust yourself until you've killed yourself over, until you've fought for it. Okay, last but not least for tonight, let's do Os Tes Zayin. We'll end with a really strong Torah to think about. Okay, bottom two lines of the page. Inyan tzadik v'ralo rasha v'tovla. Ready for this one? Now that's one of the deepest sugyas of all, right? Why do the righteous suffer? And why do the wicked have prosperity? This was the question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked God. Asher hiksha Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom la-Hashem yisbarach. Turn the page. This was the question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem. How is it fair? Right? Horeini naz derachecha, Hashem, teach me your ways. I don't get it. Why do sometimes good guys suffer so much and the bad guys seem to get away with so much? Says the Avodas Panim. Ready for this? Do you think Moshe was asking why a person who doesn't keep Torah and mitzvos drives a fancier car than like the yeshivish guy who can barely afford a like 25-year-old, you know, whatever that's falling apart? Some yeshivish mobile. You think that was Moshe Rabbeinu's question? How is it fair? This yeshivish guy, he learns Torah day and night, and the guy, he struggles to pay his bills. And this guy who's, you know, out partying and having a good time and enjoying, you know, life in the world, has financial success. That was Moshe's big question. Says Avodas Panim, no. It's much bigger than that. B'vada eina kavana shetov lo begashmi es yosem yatzadik. That's what bothered Moshe Rabbeinu. That the Chavetz Chaim didn't drive a Lamborghini. That was the big taina. That the Chavetz Chaim lived in a simple little house. No, Hashem, you couldn't give the Chavetz Chaim a mansion. Chavetz Chaim didn't want a mansion. Chavetz Chaim was not bothered one bit by the shaky little wooden bench that he spent his life sitting on. He didn't care. He don't care. The Zikos don't care about these things. No? You're in Rav Steinman's house. He cared. He cared that his house wasn't like some fancy house in some rich neighborhood. He cared? What?
Yeah,
the Gashmias?
It's very nice. But it's also
beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. And the Rishner lived in a palace. But the Zadikim don't care. That wasn't Moshe's big question. Right? Hashem, you couldn't give the Chavetz Chaim a couple million bucks in the bank? That was the big question? That's not the big question. What does the Tzadik care about Tanugi Olam Haza? The tzaddik says, I wouldn't trade the smallest mitzvah for $1 billion. That's not the big question. Ready for the big question? Look at this, third line. Why does the Rasha have better ruchnius than the tzaddik? He has it better in ruchnius. That's not fair. Why the tzaddik v'ra lo? Why is the tzaddik's ruchnias so ra lo? And the Rasha's ruchnias is tov lo. What does that mean? So look what he says. Ki zeh shelo nichnas klal b'avodas Hashem yisparach l'tahir midosav rak hakol kamitzvos anashim ilumada. Let's understand tzaddik in Rasha, right? Not as Rasha like Hitler machshavo. Tzaddik is a tzaddik, be'emes, and a rasha is what? And the Gemara uses it sometimes this way. Rasha meaning a person who's relatively wicked compared to the tzaddik. So you'll say, what do you mean? I'm wicked? I'm not wicked. I daven the minyan three times a day. But let's be honest, you also space out the entire time. Right? And you could do that for 80 years, by the way, and never really improve your tefillah. You can mumble your whole life through davening. Yeah? So compared to the tzaddik, you're a rasha. The tzaddik is broken over any letter he says without kavana. And you, the regular person, are doing mitzvos anashim milumada. What does that mean? Mitzvos anashim milumada? Mitzvos performed by rote. You're a robot. You're doing a lot of the right things. That's good. But think about it. The Rasha, again, in the relative sense, the less focused individual who's not pushing himself in his Avodas Hashem, he just goes about his daily routine, which, by the way, is filled with a lot of mitzvahs. But he's not really analyzing every mitzvah he does. He's robotically keeping Shabbos and keeping kosher and putting on tefillin and davening. Ve'eino menasa b'shum pam lilchom neged hayetzer. And it's not such a fight against his Yetzirah. You know why the Yetzirah leaves this guy alone? Yetzirah doesn't bother this guy that much. You know why? Because he's not such a big guy. And if he's not trying to become a tzaddik, the emes, Yetzirah is happy to let him do mitzvahs anashim ilumada. So you know what? So in terms of his struggles in ruchnias, he's got it pretty good. Rush of a tovlo. It's not such a fight for him. As ena Yetzirah machshilo kol kach b'chid. Yetzirah doesn't have to bother with him because he's not such a big, you know, he's not such a big catch for the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah lets him do his mitzvah. You want to daven like that for the rest of your life? Gesundheit. He could do a lot of learning. This guy could be organizing Daf Yomi in his neighborhood. Yeah? And he davens, he's the gabbai of the minyan. Achinidma lo sheyesh lo shnei olamos. Right? And he's got it great. Yitzhar gives him good parnasa. He's successful in this world, he's successful in the next world. What about the tzaddik? You know how hard tzaddikim work to really refine themselves in every little aspect of their life? And when the Yitzhar sees that, he fights them. See, we think, we read a Gemara like the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah that says, Kol ha-gadol mi-chaveiro yitzro gadol heimenu, and we don't understand that Gemara. Anyone who's greater than his fellow Jew has a bigger Yitzhara. So you're telling me the Pashup shot of that Gemara is that Rav Hershel Schachter has a bigger Yitzhara than Moshe Tzvi Weinberg? That Gemara makes no sense. Kol ha-gadol mi-chaveiro yitzro gadol heimenu. And some guy who barely knows any Torah. That's what the Gemara says. Anyone who's greater than the other person, than his contemporary, the greater person has a greater Yetzara. Really? How does that make any sense? But the answer is, the tzaddik who cares so much about every aspect of Avodas Hashem, and because he's working so hard to perfect himself, the Yetzara is fighting him. And you read Rabbi Nachman talking about his battles against the Yetzer Hara. You're like, what are you talking about? You're Rabbi Nachman. Like, you had such a big Yetzer Hara? But when a tzaddik cares so much, he has to fight for everything. And therefore, in a certain sense, it's tzaddik viralo, in ruchnius. It's so hard for him in ruchnius. The person who's just a robotic Jew, the Yetzer Hara leaves him alone. Rasha v'tovlo, he's got it good. The tzaddik, lo kein a tzaddik, asher yotza lilchum neged Yitzro. The tzaddik who says, I want to fight the, I'm taking on the Yitzhara. The Rasha stands on the side and watches the boxing match. The tzaddik gets in the ring and says, I'm going to fight the Yitzhara. And the tzaddik is getting beat up. He's also beating. He's beating Yitzhara, but he's taking a beating. Yaakov Avinu is limping. Esav is traveling on his way. And Yaakov is fighting the Yitzhara and limping around. So the tzaddik who fights his Yitzhara, Rotsa Latar Midosav, Mizgaber Lava Yitzhara Biyosa. The Yitzhara is fighting him back. Because he cares so much, the Yitzhara cares so much. Vitamid male kishlonos, and he's constantly stumbling because of that. Again, halavai, we should have the tzaddik saveros, right? I mean, what he calls stumbling and his setbacks, halavai, we should have. But the fact that he's so serious and fighting so much, it's such, his whole life is such a struggle. To us, it looks like the tzaddik is, he's just, what do you mean? He's like there. It's not even a challenge for him. But the lemaisa is, the tzaddikim said about themselves, and the Gemara is telling us, right? And the Avodas Pnim is revealing to us that this was Moshe Rabbeinu's ultimate question, that tzaddikim work so hard, Hashem. The Rishonim have it so much easier. V'yeshlo menios rabos b'chol rega. There's so many menios. There's so many things. Read the biography of Rav Nassan, just trying to give Rabbi Nachman a voice in the world and everything he had to fight for. Right? Well, Hashem, you couldn't make it easier for him in Ruchnias. He's a good guy, Rav Nassan, no? A good person. A tzaddik. Why are you making it so hard for him? And lesser people have it easy in Ruchnias. But that's exactly the point. The fact that the tzaddik cares so much, the Yitzhar is fighting him every step of the way. Yeah. Ad sha'olamo choshech ba'ado begashmias uva ruchnias. Until the tzaddik, he doesn't have gashmias, that's for sure not. But he also doesn't have ruchnias. His ruchnias is such a fight. Uva dimyono shenevad mishnei olamos. To the point that the tzaddik cares so much. Yeah? That like the Gemara says in Brachos, you have a Tana on his deathbed saying, when I die, I don't know which way I'm going. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. What are you talking about? What do you mean you don't know? And he's just trying to, was it false humility? You really don't know where you're going? You dedicate your whole life to Torah and you have a suffix if you're going to make it to the next world? And all of us are like, yeah, call yourself Yishlam Chayakum Hapa. Like, we're good. You know? I was going to go to Binghamton and I came to YU, so I'm like totally good. Rasha V'tovlo. That's Rasha V'tovlo. And Ruchnias. I'm good. And this is the secrets of the Rabbanu Shalom that Hashem says, I can't reveal. I can't reveal to you why the tzaddik has to work so hard and be so nervous that he's not cutting it, while regular Jews, who are again, not Russia in a chas v'shalom, a Russia sense, in a relative sense, right, are coasting along. And again, the only way to break through is with Mesiras Nefesh. And he says, you know what? You're going to have to, if you want to be a tzaddik, you're going to have to choose that life of suffering. We have to be prepared to make ourselves uncomfortable. And to be able to look ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what? The last 100 Shemona Esrays, not one of them was with Kavana from beginning to end. The last 1,000. My whole life, I never done one Shemona Esrays from beginning to end with Kavana. And when that pains you, you're going to feel like I don't have Ruchnias, I don't have Gashmias, what do I have? Right? But that itself gives you the title Tzadik. That's Tzadik Viralo. And then he ends with a quote in Yiddish, he ends the paragraph. He says, V'chein shamati mi'arav ha-chassid of Pinchas Sherman in the name of the Rizhner, the name of Yisrael of Rizhin. Sha'amr le'echad. Ani omer l'cha zeh u'mitzvah l'farsim. I want to tell you something, and it's a mitzvah to spread it. She has man kodem biyasa Mashiach. There's going to be a time before Mashiach comes. Okay, let's see if we can do the Yiddish. As der yid vasveit zach tzayin mit ha'emes tzim emes, yemechusar begashmias uruchnias. That you can have a Jew who's mamish an emistic Jew who doesn't have gashmias and doesn't have ruchnias. The time period before Mashiach comes, you're going to have really, really great Jews who have nothing, not in ruchnias and not in gashmias. Begashmias yemechusar parnasa. In gashmias, you're going to see, again, the Pashup Shai, you're going to see very holy people who are struggling financially. Uveruchnius, you're going to see nitkanin davenin in learning. You're going to see Jews who what? Really good Jews who can't daven and can't learn. Umishalo yumshech yelo shnehem. And a person who's not, I don't really know how to read this. Vani omer lecha. And he says it's just going to keep going and going and going. The Rishna was saying something, I'm not sure exactly how to understand this line. But I think the Rishna was saying something to the following effect. That before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a metzias of a Jew who's the most emesdig Jew who doesn't have ruchnias and doesn't have gashmias. Right? But that's the Jew who's really be'emes tzadlik. What does it mean he doesn't have gashmias? We're going to live in a world where things are going to get hard and we're not going to have parnasa. We're not going to have ruchnias because we're going to be so emesdig that we're going to feel that our ruchnias is nothing. He says, and a person who's not going to be, so to speak, drawn after Mashiach is going to think that he's going to be blessed with both. He's going to have his fake madrega of ruchnias, and Hashem's going to give him parnasa, and the real tzaddik is going to be suffering. I don't have parnasa, and I don't have Torah. Because a person who becomes so emistic that they're going to feel, you call this learning. Because I sat in the shiur that I was half asleep in, so that's called learning. I didn't learn today. I didn't learn Torah today. I didn't daven today. And I have ruchnias and I have gashmias. And the Rishon said that's going to be the metzias before Mashiach comes. But again, I think the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu is not given an answer, even though he kind of knows the answer, which is, again, the tzaddik, for all of his suffering, that's how he becomes the tzaddik. It's ralo and ruchnias. It's hard to be the tzaddik. But like he said, it's worth it to suffer and be a tzaddik than to be a Rasha who's just casual in his avodas Hashem, and the Yitzhar doesn't even want to start up with you because you're not even a serious Jew. So it's a very deep idea. The idea of tzaddik v'ralo and Rasha v'tovlo as being in inyanei ruchnias. Okay, so we should be emistic Jews. We should try our best. We should constantly push ourselves to do better. Again, we should do it in a healthy way. We don't be depressed over it, God forbid. Right? But we should push ourselves to do better, to feel like, I don't know how to daven, I don't know how to learn. And I'm not. And that doesn't mean like, so I give up. It means, okay, so now, maybe tomorrow I'll start davening for real. Maybe tomorrow I'll start learning. And that's going to make me very uncomfortable. Right? It's going to be ralo. On a certain level, it's going to be very painful. But that's a step towards true tzidkus. All right. Not the easiest safer in the world, but very kedai to learn.
That's very nice.
Okay. Shreves. Thank you. Okay.